Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, I want to start with 13Z, Debrie Henderson, Chris Ivory, Green Right Nasty, Z Peel, Fake Slash, 37, Buster Bluff, Naked Right, X Post, Y Mike. That'll be the first call.
Gotta go higher and higher. The effort, the physical play, the execution. Just keep coming and we'll find a way to win. Because the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there.
Leg it right. Now he's going to run. He's into the end zone. Packers, it is finally here.
Rodgers play action, look to the end zone. Rainbow Stewart and Nelson. He's got it! In stunning fashion, the Green Bay Packers take a 14-0 lead. It's pulled in, and a touchdown for the touchdown. Pittsburgh, right back in it. Nobody's going anywhere.
All right, let's go now. Keep that rhythm going. One
play at a
time. We're
going to
be champions tonight. All right, let's go.
Rodgers looks around, throws right side of the end zone. And there is your Super Bowl dagger. The title is back in town. The Green Bay Packers are world champions.
Never gets better. 10:05 in your morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore, working once again the hardest working man in internet radio. Hope things are good in your world. Hope things are good in everyone's world. It is week 9 of the National Football League. We are ready to rock and roll once again. And I'm not sure if you all can hear me correctly because I can barely hear myself in my headphones, but I'm going to assume everything is good because I've got no indication otherwise. The world of sports is amid a wonderful, wonderful transition, except for those who just can't seem to get out of problems with the local authorities. In the news, again, we'll get into all the fun stuff with Week 9 of the National Football League, all your fantasy rankings for the week for those of you who rely on us to give you that information every single week. The Week 9 VIN picks will be done by yours truly live today. No pre-recorded, no fun stuff. We'll also get the ESPN Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, courtesy of our friends over at ESPN. 10:06 for your Sunday morning. But first and foremost, let's get into the news of the day in the world of sports, and then we'll talk a little bit about the big game last night, LSU and Alabama. Also, what's going on with the National Basketball Association. That thing is just looking uglier by the minute. Some moves, obviously, in college sports as well. Teams trying to change conferences has caused some angst. Of course, over in Penn State, the athletic director has been charged with perjury for some sex abuse allegations. Crazy, crazy, crazy things going on in the world of sports. So, first and foremost, let's get some news out of the way for you guys. Are you aware? Of course, you all know the Cardinals won the World Series most recently, and Tony La Russa has retired. The big concern in the free agency market is where is Prince Fielder and where is Albert Pujols? Where are they going to land? Those of us in the Chicago market are anxious to find out whether or not Theo Epstein can woo the likes of an Albert Pujols out of St. Louis, or whether or not he can, you know, convince a Prince Fielder to drive 90 minutes south and join the Cubby Blue. Again, obviously, for those of us anxious and want to see a championship come to Chicago, that would be a major league step in heading in that direction, providing the foundation that he's starting with. The Cubs are not as bad as originally maybe he advertised, or maybe even as originally led. But first and foremost, Terrell Owens, this morning is announced, updated again, early this morning, arrest warrant issued for Terrell Owens. An arrest warrant issued for T.O. after he failed to show up for a court date regarding child support payments. Spokesman for Owens said Saturday the free agent wide receiver tried to reschedule an October 24th hearing in California because he had set up a televised workout. Of course, those of you know, he did the workout and no NFL team club showed up at the workout. According to his representative, Owens was looking for a new attorney and was representing himself while trying to change the court date. She said his new attorneys will simply deal with the warrant issue this week. Her name is Diana Bianchini. Said Owens was seeking to modify his child support payments because they were based on approximately $12 million a year salary he was making in 2007 when he played with the Dallas Cowboys. The 37-year-old Owens has been rehabbing the left knee injury that required surgery. Last year he played 14 games with the Bengals, 72 catches and 9 tutties. So, again, I like T.O. personally, but obviously you got to take care of your personal business. So, T., get that taken care of, man. Taken care of. Do right by that situation. Hot stove is heating up, obviously, as again we mentioned earlier. Prince Fielder, Albert Pujols at the top of the list of wants for major league teams. I understand that Cashman out of New York is talking to C.J. Wilson's agent as the Yankees try to get some pitching done and get that kind of rock and roll in their favor. Don't know how that's all going to play out yet. Again, it's really too early to say. But we'll be really, really, you know, cautious in watching exactly how that plays itself out. Now, as many of you know, last night there was a pretty good football game, or so it was advertised. Actually, wound up being a – if you were a defensive fan, this was one of the nicest games you've seen in a long time. Just hard-nosed defense. You know, Alabama hit three nice plays to get to start the game, and then LSU's defense just – it's almost like they just woke up three plays into the drive, and then it just became a defensive game. I mean, you're talking at the end of regulation 6-6. That's how this – now, mind you, Alabama had chances. Their kicker struggled all night long. I don't know if it was the moment, the magnitude of the moment or whatever, but missing three field goals throughout, I mean, that would have been your ball game, obviously, right then, because it wasn't as if LSU was running up and down there and putting touchdowns on you left and right. They had this game in tow. Alabama largely dominated a large portion of this game. But in the end, it was an overtime field goal. I mean, even in the overtime, all Alabama could do was muster up a field goal attempt, which was also missed. So LSU gets its shot. They can't move the ball. It kicks the field goal. It wins the game. And there's your 9-6 winner. Number one LSU squeezes it out in Alabama now. 9-6. So tonight, yeah, Sunday night, when these BCS rankings come out, you can bet LSU will still be number one. The real question is, what will happen to Alabama? How far will they fall? Was the game good enough to warrant Alabama staying in the top five and allowing other teams maybe to fade just a bit to see if we can get a rematch of that 1-2? I mean, great defenses. I mean, there have probably been more players in the NFL that have come from both of these two defensive programs in the last couple of years than any other school. Again, good football, good game, terrible offense, terrible. And again, I don't think that's terrible. I think that's just two really, 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 really great defenses going at it. And so we move forward. Nothing going on the NASCAR front except a whole lot of talk out of Tony Stewart to Carl Edwards. Well, tell you what. Guys, tell you what. Let's take a quick segue here. Let's talk just briefly about why Tony Stewart is talking so much trash. And we'll do that right after this.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer, you do have a choice. And the time is now.
Fast 60 minutes of sports. Live now. Roll one. Check two. Here we go, y'all. 60 minutes with your host, Benny Moore.
Benny Moore.
Fastest. 60 minutes in sports. NFL, MLB, NBA. He likes to talk about them. Not all right now. Fastest in sports on your waves right now. Get it in. 619-639-4747. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes in sports with your host, Benny Moore. You know, that never gets old. 45 to go on the ride as we go. The fastest 60 minutes in sports moves on. More and more news from the world of sports. Well, segue from sports for a minute, because we're just in that Andy Rooney, a big talk show guy and major mentor to a lot of us in talk radio or sports, as well as the media period, dies at 92 years old. If you've never heard Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes, that is someone who has one of the greatest sets of, you know, I guess candor may not be a set, but just the greatest candor when it comes to just approaching the world at large. And he will truly, truly be missed. And I thank heaven for Andy Rooney being a part of our world for such a long period of time. So we wish his family all the best. Our condolences go out to the family. And please understand that man meant a ton to more even than just you guys. It's a real talk. All right. Let's see. This just in, okay. Should the Mets trade David Wright? Okay, so we're back to baseball. All right, fine. Probably not. And that just doesn't make sense. That doesn't make a lot of sense at all. Jim Thome goes back to Philadelphia. Ex-Red Sox coach running his mouth. Team wasn't ready. That's why they collapsed. Seriously? Okay, let's leave this alone. Enough talk about baseball. That's going to heat up guys soon enough anyway. The scary thing for those of you basketball fans, and I've heard a lot of you really, really salty, just angry with David Stern, with Derek Fisher. David Stern saying recently that the NBA is ready to offer its best deal. The NBA players are rejecting the deal, but they still have until Wednesday to accept the deal. I mean, this is almost, and I hate to say this because I've heard the comparison, but it's starting to sound like the plantation owners telling the good old boys that they better conform or they're just not going to get anything out of this deal. No one's going to have any basketball. We're not going to play. And, you know, really? Seriously. I mean, we're haggling over millions of dollars. Maybe it is billions. Again, maybe I'm a little, short on the verbiage of all the particulars here, but. You know, if you're talking about 52% of revenue versus 47%, that 5%, in the grand scheme, if the company as a whole, NBA was, really truly lost $300 million last year, then obviously you do have to look at the business model, and you certainly have to look at where, where those resources are coming from outside, just the tickets and concessions and media deals that are going on, and why some teams are more popular. Obviously, you've got small markets like Charlotte. I know Michael Jordan saying that the players in 47% works. When he was a player, that last couple of years of his deals of $30 and $36 million, and Michael was worth every penny of it. And I guess that's where I have to come back to the owners and say, if the players want 50% as a minimum, or 51% as a minimum, you need to go ahead and give them that. 47% is truly a slap in the face. 48% is a slap in the face. 52%. It does seem reasonable in light of the fact that these are the guys that go out there every single night and put it on the line. But do understand, when an owner hires you and drafts you, he is he's your manager, and you are his employee. And you simply are instructed to go out there and do your best, play your game. And if you've got a union, you've got union reps to go to the bat for you and do your best interest. And if you don't like what they're doing, obviously you make changes. But this employee-boss relationship obviously is fragmented to the nth degree, and that's just a shame. And doesn't look like there's really much end in sight. So for NBA fans, I'm sorry for you. I really am. It's not going to get any better anytime sooner. So such is the case, guys. It sucks because, again, I'm as a Chicago Bulls fan, you know this was a year that the Bulls were kind of targeting, looking forward to as something that was going to be really, really special. And now that's kind of fallen out of bed. So that's just sad. All right, let's move on. To the National Hockey League. It's 10:17 on your Sunday morning. Let's get your scores from last night. Boston takes care of Toronto in a 7-0 whitewash. The Sabres a 3-2 winner over the Senators. The New Jersey Devils a 3-2 winner over the Jets last night. The New York Islanders a 5-3 win over the Washington Capitals. The New York Rangers a 5-3 win over the Canadiens. The Philadelphia Flyers just drubbed the Blue Jackets 9-2. The Red Wings shut out the Ducks 5-0. The Wild a 2-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. The Penguins a 3-2 win over the Kings. By the way, in the Blues, kudos to you guys for having La Russa do the complimentary puck drop the other night. Good show of respect for the man. The Coyotes a 4-2 win over the Oilers last night. The Predators a 4-3 win over the Sharks. And that's your scoreboard from last night in the NHL. Only a few games on the docket today. So for those of you looking for your hockey, you got 5 games to look forward to today. That's Stars, Hurricanes, Lightning, and Panthers, Canucks, and Blackhawks. That'll be fun. That'll be 7 o'clock tonight from the United Center. Jets, Rangers, and Flames, Avalanche. Those are your games for today. Now, just an FYI. Yes, the Blackhawks are 8-2-3. Yes, they've got 19 points. Yes, they're atop the division. However, they play in Vancouver. We're talking Daniel Sedin, Higgins, Edler, coming here to play Kane, Hossa, Jonathan Toews. Throw out the records. This will be a great hockey game tonight, okay? An absolute great hockey game tonight. All right, let's talk about some college football. 10:18 for your morning. We have not got into this, except for the brief talk about, obviously, LSU and Alabama. But let's run down your top 25 scores because that's just the right thing to do. All right. No, tell you what, let's do it differently, guys. Let's do it differently. I want to look at this differently. I don't want to just run down just a simple scoreboard with acronyms on it. Let's get in a little deeper than that. To the bottom of the board, please. There we go. Now we roll. There we go. Thanks, guys. All right. Going from 25 down to 1, remember there's some teams on byes, but there were some upsets yesterday. And, well, of course, number 25 Southern Miss, not upset, takes care of East Carolina, 48-28. That game largely was over in the first half with 21 points put up by Southern Miss. Number 24 West Virginia actually loses to Louisville in a Big East match, 38-35. So bye-bye to the top 25 for West Virginia. Number 21 Texas takes care of Texas Tech, 52-20. Again, that game was over by halftime after Texas puts up 28 in the second quarter. Number 20, Wisconsin, after taking a couple of bumps in the road, decides to deliver some serious pain to Purdue, 62-17. Number 19, Arizona State falls to UCLA. And I'll tell you what, the significance of that is only because UCLA now is, even though the team is 5-4, they're 4-2 in the Pac-12, which means they're tied atop the conference with Arizona State, who now they own the tiebreaker over because they won last night. So UCLA may be on the resurgence again. Nice to see a program that's been down for some years start to come back. Number 18, Georgia takes care of New Mexico State, 63-16. Michigan State gets by a game Minnesota squad, and Minnesota jumped out early, led 14-7 at the end of the first quarter, and then Michigan State started to take control late in the game. So Michigan State now goes to 7-2, 4-1 in the Big Ten, as they take care of Minnesota 31-24. Iowa upsets Michigan 24-16, so the 15th-ranked Wolverines take a major league step backwards, now 3-2 in the Big Ten Conference, tied with Iowa, who's also 3-2. Both teams are bowl eligible, but again, Michigan had definitely upset the apple cart by losing that one. Number 13, the Houston Cougars, undefeated, 9-0, 5-0 in Conference USA, just drubbed UAB 56-13. That was just a constant medley of ways for Houston to score. 56-13, they get it done. Houston back on the map. You remember the run and shoot way back in the day? That all came from the Houston Cougars way back again. So I'm not sure what offense running. I know Keenum has the game of his life. I haven't seen any highlights. Don't know much about it. All I know is it's nice to see the Houston Cougars back on the map again. Number 10, Nebraska loses to Northwestern. The 4-5 Northwestern Wildcats are playing game. The Big Ten, which should be renamed, obviously, because there's more than 10 teams now, is as competitive of a conference as there is in this country. And Nebraska is finding out now after the blowout they lost to Wisconsin that a team like Northwestern has just much heart and game. And Northwestern wins that game without Dan Persa. Impressive, guys. Way to go. Number 8, Oregon takes care of Washington, 34-17. The Ducks at 8-1 and 6-0 in the Pac-12 in their division. Number 7, Arkansas versus number 9, South Carolina. This was a great game, and actually certainly a better game than the score may allude to. The final score, Arkansas 44, South Carolina 28. Arkansas 7, South Carolina 9. This game was actually, it was 24-14 at halftime. But as this game kind of went on, you kind of saw that had Arkansas had a bump in the road, this game could have easily gone the other way. But Arkansas handles its business. You pull away late and, again, get the 44-28 win. So South Carolina no doubt falls out of the top 10. Arkansas lays its claim to being a solid one-loss team. The next one-loss team is Oklahoma, number 6. They take care of Texas A&M, 41-25. Oklahoma could definitely be in the conversation with Alabama losing, but probably Alabama's not going to fall far enough to make a dent in Oklahoma's ranking. So they'll probably stay at number 6. Boise State, a 48-21 win over UNLV. This game, easily 21-14 half. I mean, they let UNLV hang around. And if it weren't for a big fourth quarter, again, more toss five to TDs, but that's all been the fourth quarter. That game was significantly, it was 28-21 at that point. And all of a sudden, Boise begins to pull away. So does Boise get the benefit of the Alabama loss? Probably not. Stanford now, number 4, takes care of Oregon State, 38-13. 9-0 Stanford, 7-0 in the Pac-12. Takes care of a 2-7 Oregon State team. But now this is the team, Stanford, that actually may get one of the biggest blessings or biggest booms for Alabama's loss. They could easily slide themselves into that number 3 spot, into the conversation. Only because number 3, Oklahoma State, who basically, even though they won the game against Kansas State, this was not an easy game. This game went back and forth. Three different ties. They went back. At one point, Kansas State led by a touchdown. Oklahoma, 6 lead changes throughout this game. Finally, Oklahoma State prevails 52-45 against a very, very good Kansas State offense. A game full of offense, no defense. Over 1,000-plus yards of offense throughout this game. So you can probably hinge Oklahoma State. You can probably plug Oklahoma State into the number 2 slot. And, again, I know Alabama lost a tough 9-6 game, but it's probably a good idea to put Oklahoma State 2. LSU will maintain its number 1 ranking. The question is, where will Alabama fall? If Alabama falls to 3 – then nothing below them will actually change. But I got a funny feeling because Stanford has been steady and they've been good that Alabama may fall as far as 4. If they fall to 4, the number 3 team now becomes Stanford. And that could make for an interesting situation as we get closer to some of the playoffs in these conferences near the end of the season, because those are never going to be easy games. They're going to be good competitive games, and that could lend to some very, very good football, some opportunities. And again, not that LSU is prone to slip up. I think the rest of the schedule is relatively simple. But at any given point, as we've all seen, strange things in college football can happen. They just can't. Let me take a look at LSU's schedule for the rest of the year and exactly see where they fall into the mix. It doesn't look like it's the toughest game they've got to look forward to. I mean, they do have to go to Ole Miss. Okay, guys, what am I hearing? Nothing. Okay, very good. That was kind of weird. All right, moving on. November 12th against Western Kentucky. That'll be relatively easy. They got to go to Ole Miss. That could be a trap game. Ole Miss can play well. And then, of course, the end of the season against Arkansas, and that's at home. So, you know, it's not easy, but at the same time, LSU could probably take care of business again. They're just not giving up any points. The toughest game certainly will be Arkansas when they come in there, because Arkansas has got that high-powered offense. If that defense does what it's capable of doing, then you're probably looking at LSU running the table. On the other side of the equation, let's take a look at Alabama. Their remaining schedule after the one bump in the road now, they go to Mississippi State, Georgia Southern comes to them, and then at the end of the year, they get Auburn. And, of course, forgetting the records, Auburn is never easy, okay? The 22-ranked Auburn Tigers will come into town. I'm sorry, no, Alabama goes to Auburn. That could be the nail in the coffin, as they say in sports, if they don't take care of business. The only way Alabama's in the equation is truly if they run the table, and that's it. There's no other way out of it, because the rest of your boys, the Stanfords and Boise's, really don't have – I won't say they've got cupcakes, but they don't have – the same challenges as certainly an Alabama and an LSU, but that's SEC football, and that's usually the way it goes anyway. So, and for those of us fans, would you have it any other way, right? You want that just that touch of uncertainty. Now, you know, let's look at number 3, Oklahoma State, in their schedule. The rest of the way at Texas Tech, that won't be easy. I love these active pages that pop up, and there's always some, you know, tidbit of music or whatever. That's kind of cool. Anyway, November 12th at Texas Tech, November 18th at Iowa State. Now, you got to watch out. Iowa State's a trap game. You got to be careful there. And then the end of the year, this will be big, against number 6 Oklahoma, and Oklahoma comes to Oklahoma State. That could be for all the marbles. Now that you've gotten past Kansas State, you know, we're gonna assume you're going to get past Texas Tech, even though it's on the road. We're going to assume that you're going to get past Iowa State. You're going to welcome Oklahoma into town with Landry Jones. Now, they did lose Ryan Broyles to the torn ACL yesterday. He's out for the season. But still, that's Oklahoma. And Oklahoma State is always, always a great football game. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays itself out. Should Oklahoma come there with a chip on its shoulders and take care of business, you could easily see a wonderful one. I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument, Alabama runs the table and LSU, you know, trips up along the way and Oklahoma State trips up along the way. You know, what would be wrong with an Alabama-Stanford showdown? Because I don't think Stanford's going to have much of an issue the rest of the season, with the exception maybe of the conference title. And again, if it's UCLA, I take that back. It's not going to be difficult at all. So, I guess we'll see exactly how that all plays itself out very, very soon. In the meantime, it's 10:28 for your Sunday morning, the pregame to the pregame show. Remember, for those of you getting ready for your National Football League Week 9 this time around, Fox will have your pregame show at 11 for whatever Fox affiliate you've got. CBS will have its pregame show all jumping off in about 32 minutes of your morning. So back after this.
I want to discuss something important.
Is it about New Orleans football?
You know it. You're listening to the St. Stephen Show with me and St. Bernard.
Well, yeah, who that?
I have a question about Carolina.
Who that? Drew Brees!
Oh, yeah.
Stuck in a bad relationship with sports radio? Switch to ESPN Radio for the best sports on the dial.
All right. Who's that?
Dirk Nowitzki.
No, you're good.
Okay.
Who's this?
Terry Stroke?
And now, you contemptible harpy, I shall end your oppressive reign of matriarchal tyranny.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub. Hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steak and cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting to panic here. There's only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Wake up, Leona! This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.
Welcome back to the ride. Fast 60 minutes sports, Vinny Moore, 10:30 for your morning. Week 9, NFL on deck. Let's get your fantasy updates for those of you setting your fantasy rosters this morning. Going to be a challenging week for many of you who just aren't sure who to start and sit. So let's get into your fantasy rankings. We'll get right into your quarterbacks, 10 down to 1, all the way up to your defensive team. So let's rock and roll. Number 10, Phillip Rivers out of San Diego. He gets Green Bay today. Number 9, Ben Roethlisberger of Pittsburgh. He gets Baltimore. Number 8, Matt Ryan out of Atlanta. He gets Indianapolis. Number 7, Matt Schaub. Certainly a good pick going up against Cleveland. Tony Romo goes up against Seattle today. Eli Manning and the Giants will take care of the Patriots. Again, the Patriots secondary does not scare you. Number 4, Tom Brady of the Patriots gets the Giants. He's always had big games against New York. Why not? Number 3, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. He gets Tampa Bay. Number 2, Michael Vick against Chicago. He's always had big games against him, even though Michael Vick has never beaten the Bears. Number 1, Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, and that's really no surprise because he gets a San Diego secondary that doesn't really scare you a whole lot. So much for the quarterbacks. You're 10 down to the 1. Let's get into your running backs now at 31 on your Sunday morning. Fastest 60 minutes of sports. Number 10, LeGarrette Blount out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at New Orleans. Number 9, Steven Jackson of the Rams gets Arizona's unstoppable run defense. Yeah, right. Number 7, actually number 8, Beanie Wells out of Arizona gets the Rams. Number 7, Ray Rice goes up against Pittsburgh. I'm not sure about that one. Pittsburgh's got a pretty good run defense. Number 6, Frank Gore. The Niners gets the Redskins. Number 5, Michael Turner. The Falcons gets Indianapolis. Number 4, LeSean McCoy goes up against the Bears. And again, Shaney's having a great year. Number 3, Freddie Jackson out of Buffalo gets the Jets. And number 2, Matt Forte of the Bears going up against the Eagles. And I like that one a lot. Number 1, Arian Foster, the Houston Texans going up against Cleveland. Yeah, that should definitely be the way it goes. Now, why did you not hear an AP this week? Because Minnesota is obviously on its bye week. So there you go. So your wide receivers now. Yeah. We got to find some fun little segment music, you know, something, you know, between these little segments. Anyway, number 10, Vincent Jackson of the San Diego Chargers gets Green Bay. Number 9, Dez Bryant, Dallas Cowboy wideout gets Seattle. Number 9, Brandon Lloyd gets the Cardinals. Number 8, Marcus Colston gets the Bucks. Number 7, Dwayne Bowe goes up against Miami. Number 6, A.J. Green at Cincinnati. Hey, some A.J. Green love going up against Tennessee. Number 5, Larry Fitzgerald going up against the Rams. Number 4, Roddy White going up against Indianapolis. Number 3, Mike Wallace out of Pittsburgh. Number 2, Wes Welker going up against the Giants. Number 1, Greg Jennings in San Diego. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. San Diego's secondary does not scare you. So look for Aaron Rodgers to have an absolutely huge day and Greg Jennings to do largely the same as the Packers should roll over San Diego. Number 10 on the wide receivers. We just did the wide receivers. Why is that refreshing? No. Let's move on. Let's get to our tight ends. Number 10, Tony Gonzalez out of Atlanta. Number 9, Vernon Davis, the Niners, go up against the Skins. Number 8, Aaron Hernandez, he gets the Giants. Number 7, Jermichael Finley. Number 6, Gronkowski. Again, New England posts the only two tight ends that both show up in your tight end rankings every single week. Gronkowski gets the Giants. Why? Because Tom Brady spreads the ball around. Number 5, Freddie Davis gets the Niners. Number 4, Owen Daniels up against Cleveland. Number 2, Antonio Gates up against Green Bay. This could be a Donnybrook and much of a shootout. Number 2, Jason Witten goes up against Seattle. And number 1, again, Jimmy Graham. You've got a bunch of pissed off New Orleans Saints going up against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints literally just did not show up last week, so look for them to bounce back and have a very, very strong strong day today. All kickoffs start in 1 hour and 26 minutes for the early games for Week 9 of the National Football League. Number 10, Mike Nugent. This is your kickers now, guys. Number 10, Mike Nugent. Going up against Tennessee, number 9, Matt Bryant. Number 8, Billy Cundiff. Number 7, Neil Rackers. Number 6, Sebastian Janikowski. He's back. Number 5, Nick Novak. Number 4, John Casey. Number 3, David Akers. Number 2, Mason Crosby. Number 1, Danny Bailey going up against Seattle for the vaunted Dallas Cowboys, who still hold claim to they are the best team in the NFC East. The only reason they lose is because they lose themselves and not because they get beat. Go figure that one. La, 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 la. Number 10, the New Orleans Saints. These are your defenses now. Your defenses start off with number 10, New Orleans Saints. Number 9, the Kansas City Chiefs getting Miami. Number 8, Green Bay. Number 7, the New York Jets against Buffalo. Number 5, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going up against the Baltimore Ravens. Number 5, the Cincinnati Bengals. Number 4, the Dallas Cowboys get Seattle. Number 3, the Houston Texans get Cleveland. Number 2, the Niners go up against Washington. Like that one a lot. Number 1, the Ravens at Pittsburgh. And they must be planning on a 10-9 or 10-6 Ravens-Steelers slobber knocker game. Don't know if that's how it's actually going to go, but it'll be fun to see how that all plays out. That's your fantasy rankings for your week 9 of the National Football League. It's 10:35 in your morning. As I told you earlier, the VIN picks this week, will be done live. So, you know, fun little clips and things. But that's not to say that our friends over at ESPN Radio and Mike in the Morning weren't kind enough to let us get into the Week 9 picks for from ESPN Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. And we'll do that in 1 minute. See you back in a minute.
Remember our wonder years? We began every morning with fresh eyes. Every afternoon promised another adventure. We lived in the moment and made every day matter. Those days might seem long ago, but that sense of wonder can still be found. It still lives in a magical place where the mighty Huron, Superior, and Lake Michigan meet. Our wonder is not lost, but flows strong in the great waters of Michigan's eastern Upper Peninsula, a place of shipwrecks and maritime adventure. A sacred land rich with Native American heritage and man-made marvels. Where quiet forests open under rolling shores, and where we can still see eagles soar over majestic cliffs, rugged shoreline, and hundreds of islands that rise from this freshwater sea. So let's head north to the great waters and discover the wonder that is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
10:36 on your morning. Let's rock and roll, guys. A little longer this time around, but that's okay. Again, the event, well, you know, let me do the segue now because I don't want to do it later in the show because it's always fun. Ladies and gentlemen, last night, right here in the south suburbs of Chicago, I got to witness something I don't think I couldn't have fathomed ever before. Now, I have an awesome family. You know, you all know this. I've talked about this many times, from my son in the Army, the family just aspiring to do great things. And, you know, we're probably the next family primed to do some level of reality show one day. But it is what it is. And last night, we decided that we would do something special for a very dear friend of ours. My daughter has a best friend and wanted to do a party for her. And this party jumped off at our home. And, of course, as parents, me and my wife asked the specific questions of, you know, how many people do you expect to attend? What do we need to do? And so we basically kind of started this process on Friday night into Saturday of, you know, prepping the house, trying to get some things done. My wife goes out and gets some of the things to decorate the lower level of the house and just really, really does us up. Her and my daughter really went out for the young lady so she could have a really, really nice party. And my daughter, who is kind of a techie Greek, you know, loves to use her phone to update, you know, whether it's Facebook or Twitter and so on. She's got tons of followers, tons of friends. Puts this blast out of invitation to all the friends, letting everyone know that the party is here. It's for the young lady's name is Shanice. It's for her, and you know, come by. Party's going to run from a certain time to a certain time, you know. And then she basically says, you know, you're invited. Largely, you know. Again, I didn't see invite, but we'll leave it there for the sake of keeping the store clean. So anyway, around 8:15 last night, you know, the first doorbell rings and a couple of guys show up, and okay, no big deal. And I'm actually in the lower level helping the DJ, you know, set up the little speakers and the sound system. And so he's good to go now, and, you know, it's going to be an interesting night. And I take a look at the basement and realize that, you know, this lower level is pretty good size, and you know, it probably can hold, you know, a fair number of people, 30, 40 people. Yeah. let me just say this. When you Twitter blast to people about a party, even people who are just following you, and they live within your vicinity, I mean, you know, forgetting the local high schools, and there are three major ones close by, and all of them seem to love to follow my daughter, her friends, and so on and so forth, and you know, their little clique or whatever it is, everyone and their brother decided to get this and make an effort to get by this party. So much so that at one point last night, So my wife, God bless her, she comes upstairs and said, it's packed. Okay. Now, the party started at 8:30. By 10 o'clock, we were turning people away at the door. Crazy, and at one point, you know, as a dad, you know, I kind of walk over and walk by the little door, and I just hear them chanting the words to the most popular songs, and everyone's having this blast. So I mean, this party now is considered off the chain. It is off the chain. Vanessa Moore has had the party off the chain. The Sweet 16 for her friend, and this party is, you know, at the new Stratosphere. This is the spot now. And so my oldest son, playing Top Flight Security, is trying to keep things kind of at bay, kind of trying to manage flows and manage things going on. And as people have been starting to be turned away, they're starting to hang out in front. Well, it's never a good thing when you hang out in nice, quiet areas, because other neighbors really don't know what's going on, and they just see all of a sudden this buildup of people suddenly just hanging out in the yards and on lawns, and that's just never a good thing. So, and the local authorities were really, really cool. No one got arrested last night, but they just wanted to make sure that people were actually, when they left the party, they were actually dispersing appropriately. Well, as always is the case, there's always one, you know, jughead that always kind of ruins the party. So the party had to basically kind of terminate a little bit early because someone got a little out of sorts, and we weren't going to take the chance of anybody, you know, getting hurt or doing something that was unethical. So we terminate the party, and everyone's migrating. But it's almost as if no one wanted to leave, so they all kind of just hovered and hung out. And all of a sudden, you look out front, and this entire cul-de-sac is just full of wonderful teenagers and cars, and some people want to show out because they know they got a crowd now. And so the issues weren't in the party. The issues were outside the party, which was absolutely amazing to me. But, yeah, kudos to the Richland Park Police for, if nothing more, being cool about the whole thing, making sure everyone got dispersed and got home safe. We haven't heard any news of anything that went haywire or bad otherwise. So a lot of good things came out of last night again. Kudos to my wife and my daughter for pulling this off. Kudos for everyone that was there and actually behaved themselves. And without further ado, at 10:41, let's get you into your Week 9 Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blackshirt of ESPN. All this and more on the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
The time has finally arrived.
Yes!
All right. These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
Whoopee!
An ESPN Radio exclusive.
All right, Gunnick, here we go for Week 9. And for this week, my operative phrase is, do not ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee.
For whom the bell tolls.
I told you at the time, and I'm telling you again. The Baltimore Ravens will rue the day they ran up the score on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But go on, stop ruing. I said it the day after it happened in Week 1, and I'm saying it again now.
And I'm saying it again now. And I'm saying it again now. And I'm saying it again now. And I'm saying it again now. And I'm saying it again now.
And I'm saying it again now. The Steelers are going to remember it. Mike Tomlin's going to burn it into their memories. And they're going to come out even angrier than normal, and they are going to stop the Baltimore Ravens.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face. And that's it!
The Steelers are playing better than the Ravens are right now. They're going to have that angry memory, that bad taste.
Oh, God. The dog went on the picnic basket.
And they're beating up Baltimore big. Give me the Steelers -3. I like the Steelers for a big win.
Hey, I just found out it's November. What happened?
I'm going to go to Kansas City, where the greatest tailgate is in all of the NFL, maybe even in college. The smell of that stadium and the way the Chiefs are playing right now. Kansas City with some Arrowhead magic on Halloween. I know it's a short week, but they're hosting the Miami Dolphins, who are short on wins, as in no wins.
We're losing.
And it's not going to get much better for them here.
They're burying us alive.
Kansas City is on a roll. They had major injuries early.
Does this hurt?
Put them in that 0-3 hole, but they have been on a roll since, and that is going to continue.
Shut up, damn it!
When you're playing a team that doesn't have wins and you jump on them early, you can take them out of the game, and that's what the Chiefs are going to do.
I have no strong feelings one way or the other.
They're giving 5.5 to Miami. That's plenty. They'll easily outdo that. They may beat them by double digits.
Should we trust him, your neutralness?
All I know is my gut says maybe.
And then finally we'll go head-to-head on the Giants at the Patriots.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom.
On Monday night when we did SportsCenter, you listed your top 5 teams in the NFL. You listed the Giants and left out the Patriots. In the 12 years I've known you, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, Greeny, in the almost 12 years that I've known you, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Hi, Sexy. You have reached the one-on-one fantasy line.
I told you then the Patriots would be a big favorite if they played each other. Oh, guess what?
What?
What? They're playing each other and the Patriots are giving 8.5. I laugh at the 8.5. The Patriots are the better team. They're playing at home and they will cover the number.
We'll see who's dumb last dummy, yourself?
Me fail English? That's impossible.
I like the Giants in this one.
Our devastating little scheme will begin with my freeze ray.
I like the Giants, the defense, the pressure they can put on Tom Brady. I know it's at home, and I know how well New England plays at home, but 8.5, that's a lot of points.
A lot of them.
New England may win this game, but it's going to be closer than the 8.5.
Well, Super Friends, how did you find us?
No time to explain. We've got to get out of here and fast.
And those here week 9 souls.
Go, let us
box.
Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Mike and Mike in the morning in our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. Protect your ride no matter what you drive. When you peak, you win. A great job, as always, on the locks by Joaquin, and then on TV by Craig Possible. And
oh, what?
What's that?
O'Brien. Craig O'Brien.
Craig O'Brien Possible.
Yeah.
And with the hyphen. And
right.
But the best thing about it is the very end, for those who didn't see it on ESPN2, he put up a thing where we are all the League of Justice, the
right,
Justice
right,
League.
Yeah.
And he made Stats Wonder Woman.
Stats is Wonder Woman.
And so Stats yells out from the side, "What's going on? I'm Wonder Woman."
That
and
is...
you know what? I think he should be very happy.
Quite
with
honestly,
it.
It's an insult to women everywhere.
It's an insult to Wonder Woman. My daughter was Wonder Woman for Halloween.
She could pull it off.
Let me tell you, she looked a lot better than Stats. That's neither here nor there. At any rate, there's your Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks for the week. I've got Pittsburgh -3 at home against Baltimore. Golic, when we record those, it's obvious we record them earlier in the week, the number on Kansas City Miami was 5.5.
Right.
It's now 4.5. That I find that interesting. The number has moved in that direction.
Me too.
And so, you know, whatever, your pick looks a little better. And then you've got New England -8.5 over the Giants. Again, full disclosure, I pick the Patriots every week because every time I pick them, they lose.
You want to be the kiss of death.
And,
right.
And it works, has worked in my favor. That, to me, is one of the most interesting games this week because the Patriots are such an incredibly significant team. And I think there's more and more. I was listening to Mike Lupica yesterday, who does a show on ESPN New York, and he wrote this column in the New York Daily News yesterday as well. These Patriots are not anywhere near as good as people are thinking.
No, they're not. And I'm looking at everybody has their top 10 out there, and I'm looking at one, and it has New England #2. Like, what are you thinking? New England isn't the second best team in the league. They're just not. Their defense is nowhere near good enough to have this team considered that high.
Yeah.
Just not.
Well, so but Brady is that good, and they
Brady
never
is.
Lose at home.
That's the reason they're #2 is because of Tom Brady and the record they have at
well,
home.
Well, here's a variety of things. Let's just analyze. If you're making a list of pros and cons
right.
with the Patriots, right? What are the really big pros
for the Patriots?
Yeah,
Tom Brady.
Okay, keep going. That's obvious. Keep going.
Well, it's their offense. I mean, their ability to
but
to
they're
move
very,
the ball.
Here's the point that was being made. You tell me if you agree with this or not. They only really move the ball in a very limited way. They only have a couple of things they do. They have completely stopped hitting home runs. Maybe Chad Ochocinco was supposed to do that. He has come nowhere near doing
listen,
it.
Listen, Greeny, when they were winning their Super Bowls, they weren't hitting home runs. They didn't have home run wide receivers.
Well, they had Randy Moss, not when they were winning their Super Bowls, but they had Moss. And even before, I mean, Deion Branch, they went downfield. It feels like he never throws the ball long
anymore. Right. No, you're right about that. It's a different way of going about
business. His favorite receivers are his tight ends.
But they find a way normally to do it. But we'll see. You know, we'll see.
The point is this. Look, Brady is unbelievable.
Yes.
He's probably as good as anybody's ever been. Belichick is a brilliant coach. I still say he's the best coach in football, even if his defense being as bad as is right now, I think certainly reflects at least a little bit badly on him because he was always a defensive guy and he's had a lot of time to rebuild it. But whatever, I still right now, for my money, he's the best coach in the sport. Having said all of that, they have to do exactly what they do perfectly to beat you. Now, they do it more often than not, obviously, but they've got to do it. They've got to have that short passing game working perfectly. They got Welker work in the middle. They got the tight ends work in the middle. Bust a couple of running plays, outscore you. I mean, that's not so easy to do.
They need to look for mismatches because you don't, when you don't have a deep threat, what do teams want to do? They want to press you, and that's what Pittsburgh did. Pittsburgh would usually play zone. They came up and they pressed. Now, when they press, what kind of matchups do you have? See, here's one of the differences. Is New England with their tight ends, you know, a lot of times they can provide a decent matchup advantage for themselves. But what I like about the Giants is they can get four-man pressure, which means you can take more away underneath if that's where you want to concentrate some of your defense with four-man pressure and hit Brady. And as I said, Eli is playing at an elite level right now.
Eli is playing great right now, no question about it. And so the question is, but the question is, if Hakeem Nicks is not healthy and he's got a hamstring, he may not play. if he doesn't have his weapons or his best, his favorite weapon, is he going to be able to put up, what number do you have to put up to beat them? I mean, take last week out of the equation because,
No, don't take last week out of the equation. You can get in the 20s and beat New England.
Yeah.
You can.
Well,
they can
do that. The Giants can score
24
points.
And one of the reasons that Pittsburgh was only in the 20s, quite honestly, is because the defense
kept
for New England
kept
them out of the end zone.
Right.
Pittsburgh could easily have been in the 30s in that one.
And Brady was just never on the field. That's the thing.
Never on the field. And, as I've always said, keeping him off is number one when you knock him around. And this defense for the Giants can do it. I said the locks, New England may win the game. They're so good at home, but they're not going to cover. It would not shock me one bit, not one bit, if the Giants win this game. Not one bit because of the way their defense plays, the way Eli's playing right now. You worry a little bit if you lose your weapons. The running game hasn't been what they would like it to this year so far. So we'll see. You know, he's finding other people. Victor Cruz, you know, all of a sudden is becoming the man who we saw in preseason 2 years ago. We're like, wow. And then now all of a sudden, pressed into service, he's doing a nice job.
Here's the number on the Patriots. They scored at least 30 points in 13 consecutive regular season games, which is one shy of the NFL record. But since that was snapped, they have totaled 37 points in their last two games. That was the game against Pittsburgh.
Right.
And before that was the Dallas game, right? That's the one that was the game that they won with a late touchdown drive at the end. But the Cowboys, that was the game the Cowboys got very conservative at the end. It's the first time New England has been held to 20 or fewer points in consecutive games since late in 2009. Brady and Belichick have not been held to 20 or fewer in three straight games since the 2003 season. Now, that discounts to 08 when Brady missed 15 games. When Brady's been healthy, they haven't failed to score 20 points in three straight games going back to 2003. See, the one thing I was about to say, well, the Giant defense isn't as good as the Steeler defense, and it probably isn't, but their D-line is.
Their D-line definitely is, and that helps you in coverage, especially against New England. You play up a little more offensively. Yeah, losing Nix is going to hurt. Akeem Nix being out, and I understand if they want to hold him out. They have a two-game lead over everybody else in that division in the NFC East, and a hammy, as I've said, can be a lingering thing. So take that week if you need it, if you're not sure about him, so he's healthy going forward because you have that two-game lead right now. But it will hurt their offense if he's not on the field.
That's one of several really good games. What a terrific football weekend this is, as you have obviously the monster showdown tomorrow night amongst all the good college football with LSU, Alabama. And
I thought you meant I'll be at the Wake Forest Notre Dame game. That's at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'll be missing the LSU, Alabama game.
I hope you enjoy that.
Yeah.
Have a good time with that.
I think I can have a tea on the sideline.
Let's see what we're made of. Let's see what we're made of right here.
Real simple. Remember this. It's pro football.
Pro football.
Mike and Mike's Real Deal Picks are brought to you by Wendy's. Try the new Dave's Hot and Juicy Cheeseburgers at Wendy's today. Wendy's, you know when it's real.
Back and better than ever. Mike and Mike, earlier we did Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, picking three big games on the schedule. Mike, I got four more picks I want from you.
Okay.
Let's start with New Orleans, home against Tampa. Vegas still doesn't buy the Bucks. The line I have here is New Orleans -8. Too many?
I think it's too many, yes. I like Tampa's running game, and I think it could be effective against New Orleans. New Orleans, we know, can score points. I think they're the highest or second highest, you know, at points in the league. They're right there at the top. So I do think 8 is too much. Plus, if you get some interceptions from Breeze, who's right there up near the lead in interceptions, I kind of like Tampa in this game.
Breeze is actually filling up the stat sheet. Wait, Liam sent me the stat yesterday. I got to go find it. Hold on 1 second, because he is filling up a stat sheet right now like maybe no one ever has before, in both a good way and a bad way. Here it is. Here are the number on Breeze. Breeze has played 8 games. He leads the NFL in attempts, in completions, in yards, and in interceptions. His pace right now would put him in position to break several single-season passing records, Mike. So Breeze is filling up the sheet in both the good way and the bad way.
He doesn't lead in interceptions. Phillip Rivers has one more interception than he does. But he does have he is lighting it up. I remember last year he threw a lot of interceptions as well. I remember talking to Kurt Warner about this when they were the greatest show on turf, and he said they didn't care about turnovers because they could make up for it by scoring so many points. They're averaging 32.5 points a game. That's second to Green Bay, that's just under 33 points a game. So they can score the points. And their defense this year has been getting turnovers again, something they did when they won the Super Bowl. So this is, even though it's on the road for Tampa Bay, big game for them in this division.
All right, you're right. That was a mistake. He is one behind Rivers in interceptions, but the point remains. He's putting
up
huge numbers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
In a good and a bad way. For the record, I like Tampa to cover there. I like Tampa plus the 8 in that game. We just had Chan Gailey on Mike. Buffalo and the Jets. The Bills are a 2-point favorite at home, which means Vegas isn't even giving them that field goal.
But I think I like Buffalo in this one. Fred Jackson being the key there, catching the ball in the backfield, running the ball as well. That Jet defense will get tested there. And then the Jet offense, I just don't know. I just don't know enough about them or have enough confidence in them to get it done. Not like Buffalo is the greatest defense around, but I'm going to go with Buffalo here, and I'll give the 2.
I have no idea what to expect in this game. I really don't. I mean, I think, you know, everyone knows that I root for the Jets. I think that the Jets, they showed some signs 2 weeks ago of their offense sort of coming back to life. I think the Jets will play enough defense that Buffalo won't go nuts on them. You know, I don't think Buffalo's scoring 35 points.
I completely agree with
that. So I think this game comes down to the Jets and Sanchez and the ability to run the ball. We'll see. It's a game that makes me nervous, I'll put it that way. I want to pick Denver-Oakland because I'm just fascinated by the quarterback matchup. The Raiders at home are an 8-point favorite, but here is Carson Palmer against Tim Tebow, Oakland minus 8. What do you think?
I don't even think about it from the Carson Palmer standpoint because Oakland is going to pound the football. They're going to run and run and run on Denver because they'll be able to. So Carson Palmer, you know, he has had a couple of weeks now to manage this offense now. You certainly can't expect great things from him by any stretch of the imagination at this point. Manage the offense, they'll control it with the run, and I think they cover the 8.
Me too. Raiders give the points. Finally, Green Bay at San Diego. The Packers are a 5.5-point road favorite. Just call it a funny feeling. I like San Diego in this game. This would be like if I had an upset kind of a special. And listen, I'm always wrong. So run somewhere and bet against me. But if I were going to give you an upset special, there's something about the Chargers when things look the bleakest, that they tend to play a good game. They're at home.
We know they can. Listen, we know they can play well. They just have been so inconsistent this year. But listen, someone's got to beat Green Bay. You know what? And it's not going to be San Diego. I just don't think they will. Green Bay is just trying to roll. No, I'll give that.
Give the points.
As I mentioned, New Orleans is the second leading scoring team in the league. Green Bay's first at right around 33 points a game, about 10 more.
Now, they're the best team in the sport.
San Diego.
No two ways about it. Yeah. They're the best. But, you know, they're going to lose a game.
They're going to lose to Detroit on Thanksgiving. That's been my prediction all the way along.
That's been your pick for a while.
And that is the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blocks, courtesy of ESPN and ESPN Radio. All right. What do we got? 2 minutes left in this wonderful dance today. Let me just run this down real quick. Again, no fun VIN picks, no fun track, nothing going on. So we're just going to run down the VIN picks for week 9. Take them to the win if you want to. If not, sit on them, compare them against the spread, do what you want to do. Let's get into it. The New York Jets at Buffalo. Bottom line is this. Buffalo is going to be better. The Jets' offense is questionable. Jets will take care of business in that game. Unfortunately, it'll be on the losing end of a thing in I forgot the name of the city. It's not Orland. Orchard Park, thank you very much. Orchard Park, Buffalo takes care of business. Seattle at Dallas, Dallas will win this game, probably moving away. Des Bryant should have a big game. Atlanta at Indianapolis, Falcons across the board. Indianapolis looking at the Andrew Luck thing. Some perspective that they may want to even consider trading Peyton Manning. We'll see soon enough. Miami at Kansas City, this will be a Kansas City Chiefs show. Dwayne will get up like crazy. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. The Saints will take care of business. They're getting offended, pissed off as they can be. Tampa Bay has shown no level of consistency whatsoever. The Niners at the Redskins. Lean toward the Niners. The Redskins may play a little better at home, but the Niners are 6-1, and they're going to prove you why in this game. Cleveland at Houston. The Texans will roll against the Peyton Hillis-less Cleveland Browns. Cincinnati at Tennessee. This will be a fun game, but I like A.J. Green, Andy Dalton to take care of business against Tennessee. Cincinnati wins this game. Denver at Oakland. Oakland is going to pound Tim Tebow in Denver today, much like Golic said, so call that one what it is. The New York Giants at the New England Patriots. There are people who still believe that the Giants-Patriots games a couple of years ago was an indication that both teams are in their head in the right direction, and they're both very, very competitive. Eli Manning is playing at an elite level, but that's Tom Brady across the way, and Brady's at home. Lean to the Patriots on that one. St. Louis at Arizona. Pretty evenly matched up. You have two really bad teams, but I like the Rams in this one only because Steven Jackson can run the ball and Arizona's not sure which way to lean. Green Bay on the road in San Diego. There are those who believe that San Diego will play well at home and upset the best team in the National Football League. I'm not going that way. Green Bay is going to get this win. They're averaging about 33.5 points a game. They're the best team in football right now, so there you go. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. This will be the most entertaining game to watch of the day. Comes on Sunday night in your Sunday Night Football on NBC. Steelers-Ravens. If the Ravens don't show up, this could get ugly. Remember, Tomlin has not forgotten that a couple of years ago, Baltimore ran up the score on his vaunted Steelers. And the Monday night affair, the Chicago Bears, the Philadelphia Eagles. You know I'm a homer. I always have to lean toward my Bears, even though all these prognosticators are leaning toward the Eagles. And that is basically going to do it for your Week 9 VIN picks. We love you. There's nothing you, but you, yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. And we will see you next week only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. See y'all next week.